Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Shubel.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We're talking Stafford County Schools this morning, and it is we are welcome to the area. And welcome to the first time on the show, Stafford School Superintendent Dr. Scott Kisner here. Dr. Kisner, it's great to have you here.
Good morning. Thank you. This is exciting.
It's good. It's really good to meet you and have you come in. It occurs to me, you started in Stafford on September 1st. The students, a couple of days later, you all kind of started, especially you and the kindergartners started, and kind of nervous on the first day and all of that.
Yeah, that's interesting you said that, because I met a few students, even older than kindergarten, that just by coincidence, they were first time in Stafford schools. And I said, you and I have a lot of similarities. There was one student my first day in front of Stafford Middle School, and I greeted kids as they got off this bus. And this one young man says, I'm very nervous today. Today's my first day. I said, you know what? Let's walk in together, because we're both going to enter the building at the same time as first-time new people to Stafford.
That's terrific. There was a picture of you in the last week or so on Twitter that I thought was one of the best pictures I have ever seen, a picture of the year. You are at an elementary school tying someone's shoe,
yeah.
And someone got that on a picture. And I thought that was just a terrific picture.
Yeah, that was at Falmouth Elementary School. And this teacher, I you know, at the end of the day, it's very hectic. And this kid had to go to the bathroom right when the buses were coming. And I said, I'll take him to the bathroom. And then I looked down and I said, oh, God, he's going to trip under my watch. I'm not going to allow that to happen. So I tied his shoe, got him to the bathroom, and got him on the bus. Everything that worked out perfect. It was terrific.
Perfect. It was a great picture. And I thought, I saved the picture because I thought at the end of the year when I post some pictures of just memories of the year, I thought that really is a good picture. And and really shows, I see on Twitter and Facebook, you do spend a lot of time in the schools.
Yeah, so I've made a commitment, and so far I've been able to meet that commitment. At least one building every day, sometimes two, even as high as three, and get into as many classrooms. You know, I'm transitioning from a school division that had 10 schools to a school division that has 31 schools. And I think when you come from a smaller school system, it's much more personal. You get to meet the children, you get to meet staff, you know the parents. And I don't want to lose that. And it's easily, to be honest with you, you could be held hostage to your office all day long.
Yeah.
So I'm learning to navigate the roads of Stafford and try to avoid the traffic jams. And I'm getting there. My GPS overall does well. Sometimes it gets confused, and I may not get where I need to go at the right time. But I'm enjoying it.
Boy, I'll tell you what, I have, over the last year or so, there have been several programs at some Stafford schools that I've never gone to, and I too rely on a GPS, and there are some schools tucked away in areas that I would never have thought there was a school.
No, I'm totally with you. I've been at 28 of the schools, yet I have three more to go. And I told the principals yesterday, we had a principal's meeting, that the first round is scheduled, so everybody knows I'm coming. Then it's free, and they're all great. The teachers are great. If I happen to drive by a school, I'll go in there. I've been eating a lot at the schools, meeting the kids that way, and so it does a couple of things real quickly. One, I get to talk to people informally. Two, I get to get an informal temperature of how the instruction's taking place. A couple days ago, I did the car drop-off at Ferry Farm, and I had a chance to meet some parents as I was opening up the door for their kids. I didn't get any tips, though, I have to tell you. I was like opening up the doors. I thought, come on, somebody gave me a dollar or two. But it's all good.
Well, and that kind of thing, like you say, especially with a bigger school district, it's it's you often don't see that. And I think for kids to be able to come home and say, I met the superintendent today, or even for parents to be able to put a name, because so often we see the name and, you know, you're behind a desk and we don't see a superintendent.
Yeah, and I have to tell you, and for those who are listening who are parents, there are terrific kids in Stafford. I say that sincerely. I've even had the pleasure, some of the principals have arranged for students to give me the tours of their school. And I got, you know, to meet high school students and elementary students. And, you know, when you walk around with them, you see a couple things. One, you see that these kids have remarkable pride and respect for their school and the educators in the school. And then the other thing that you could tell when a kid, when a young person has experienced success. And I also have spent time visiting and talking to students in programs that we have to give children extra academic and social support to gain a perspective on. And I even asked one young lady, she's a 10th grader, who's in one of our non-traditional programs, if she felt that we're meeting her academic needs. Are we meeting her needs when she wakes up in the morning? Is she excited to come to school? And, you know, obviously she didn't know me, but I was impressed with her honesty, and she shared some things that she thought we were doing well, but then she also shared, she didn't use these words, but what she was telling me, things that we may want to consider changing. And, I talked yesterday, Sheree was there, that I talked greatly about customer service, that we have to treat everyone like they're our customers. And sometimes people in my position, truthfully, just public educators, we may take things for granted, thinking, well, if you're going to go to public schools, you have no choice. You got to go to this school. So we don't have to maybe think like a business that, you know, if you're unhappy with the service at a restaurant or the food of a restaurant, well, you could go across the street and go to another restaurant.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I just think we need to have that type of attitude, is like, are we meeting the parents' needs, or we mean the children's needs? And I feel like that about the staff. You know, when a staff member is not feeling successful, or a staff member goes to another school system, I want to learn, was there something that we did that we need to stop doing so they would have had a better experience?
Dr. Scott Kisner with the Stafford County Schools here. When we come back, I've enjoyed this so much already. I haven't even gotten into your life story and what got you here. We will do that when we come back. Dr. Scott Kisner, the superintendent of Stafford County Schools, our very special guest this morning. Right now, you can win a copy of Glenn Beck's new book, Addicted to Outrage. Glenn Beck, author of 13 number one New York Times bestsellers, issues a startling challenge to people on both sides of the aisle to give up our addiction to outrage. First person to text the studio right now, 540-371-5756, wins a copy of that book. More coming up with Dr. Kisner on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Shoup.
Stafford School Superintendent Dr. Scott Kisner here this morning as we welcome him to the region. He's been here just a little over a month now. As far as Dr. Kisner, when did this odyssey in education begin for you? When did you know that this was a career you wanted to pursue?
Well, truthfully, that's a great question. So I went to Brew College, part of City University of New York, in undergrad. And I started off as an economics major. And my cousin called me up the day before a camp for children with disabilities was opening up, and asked me if I want to make $75 for the summer and work with children with disabilities. And I said, oh, and she said, you'll get to leave New York in the hot weather. So headed up to Brewster, New York, which is only about an hour and a half north of New York City.
Yeah.
And I truly loved that experience, and then changed my major to a psychology major. And in 1981, when I graduated in undergraduate school, I also met my wife, and we we both came to Virginia to open up through a school up in the Winchester, Clark County area, Grafton School. We opened up the first group home for children with autism in Virginia in 1981. I did it when I was 5 years old. No. And then, you know, one thing led to another, and I really enjoyed working with children with disabilities and ended up being a school psychologist. And I never really saw myself going into administration, to be quite honest with you. And then one thing led to another, and then I was a director of special ed and psychological services, and then assistant superintendent of instruction. And then I eventually realized, I'm probably, that's going to be my career path.
Yeah.
And then in 1999, I got my first superintendent position up in Wesley, Rhode Island, and stayed there for a little, close to 6 years. Came back to Virginia in 2005, and now I'm in Stafford.
We're glad to have you. We're glad to have you here. Do you look back and think about teachers as you were growing up that had an impact on you, or even anybody in a school system?
So I've been asked that. So there's two people I would really mention, and one is really my father. He wasn't a teacher. He was for many years he was a he worked in the construction and building trade. He was like a painter, a wallpaper, drywall guy. And then he got a job in a federal program called Job Corps, where you teach young people a skill and also help them get their high school diploma. So when I was in high school, I watched him work with what we would call, youth, children, teenagers that struggled in the traditional school setting. And then, so that was that really kind of gave me a sense that I really want to, at one point work with children. But the other, and then when I got into I worked for a great superintendent, to be honest with you. He, I always observed him and said, I'd like to be him one day. And I'm hoping if I'm as half as good as I think most people thought about him, then I've been successful. So I'm in my 20th year as superintendent, and it's a job that it has its stresses. But take that away, every job has its stresses. It's really rewarding, and you just got to find the moral connection to the decision you make, and that always gravitates to young people. So that's why I'm in the schools.
Well, and the one thing, as you described it, Dr. Kisner, that I would think a lot of parents, especially parents of special needs kids, should be excited to have you here, because you obviously have a heart for that and some experience with that. And there are a lot of parents sometimes that are dealing with special needs kids that just feel like, no one understands what I'm going through, and you do.
Yeah, and honestly, this is not, to give myself accolades. So I have three daughters, and all three are great. One is a teacher, one's an attorney, one's finishing college, going to be a teacher. And academically, they all had their strengths and they all had their challenges. And one of my daughters, I better not, just in case they ever listen to this, they could guess who it is. One of my daughters, my wife and I's daughter, made us look really good. Like, she excelled in everything, and like, people were like, all right, we'll take the credit, although I don't remember doing anything. And then, one of our daughters, and I don't mind saying it, she knows I say it, we adopted, and she went through a very, very challenging time when she was young. She was abused. She was just a kid that obviously deserved much better. And we weren't even planning to be foster parents. But one thing led to another. Mm-hmm. We used to live right by the Winchester Medical Center, and they asked if we could watch a little girl. She was 3 years old for a few days because she was in the ER room after a horrific episode with her father. So, and now she's 24, beautiful, and going to be a great teacher. But I tell you that is because I've seen the value of education for every child. But I never want us to forget that there's a lot of kids that maybe academically seem like they're doing really well, but they may be experiencing social-emotional challenges. And then there are kids that, if my car broke down right now in front of a radio station, I know I do two things. I put the hood up, and then I call AAA, right? And then there are some kids that they may not, based on the metrics we use to measure academic success, may not seem successful. They came down here, they could fix my car in 28 seconds. So, so I want to look for the strength of every child and then make sure that we're challenging them to a point where they feel like they could stretch their learning. I want to remove barriers that prevent students from being successful. And those kids who are excelling, I want them to even, in a sense, excel more or try other things. So it's going to be, and that's what's great about Stafford. We are already met all the state accreditation requirements. And to me, that's kind of like a minimum standard, and especially for a place like Stafford. So now I'm going to work with a lot of stakeholders to see what else do we need to do to have innovative practices to make sure every child is having a chance to be successful upon graduation.
You mentioned that with a full accreditation for all Stafford County Public Schools, that is something to be proud of.
They should be really proud of their on-time graduation. Well, I should say ours. No, it's not theirs. I'm part of it.
But, that's right, yes.
Their on-time graduation rate, low dropout rate. But even in those great numbers, and really, I said this yesterday to the principals too, I believe in celebrating like really quickly and move on. And then, because even in those really good numbers, we know we have a lot of kids that are struggling. And then we have organizations like Stafford. I'm not saying Stafford is like this, but who rest on their last positive outcome are those that usually end up shortchanging children. We should always look what we could do better today than we did yesterday and what we could do better tomorrow than what we're doing today. And that's always been my philosophy.
Stafford School Superintendent Dr. Scott Kisner here this morning. I saw you. It was a video, and I have never heard anybody else talk about this, and it really got me thinking. And it was talking about so much has been, and the state's kind of getting away from so much on test scores. And you talked about instead of just test scores, look at the growth of a student because everybody does start at a different place.
Yeah. So most of my experiences have truly been in high poverty, diverse school divisions. And I saw some amazing success stories that based on the state assessment procedures, would say that this kid was a failure. And let me just give an example. There are some kids on day one will pass the SOLs, the Standard Learning Test. And there are some kids on day one that would be maybe 100, even 140 points behind. And on the day they take the test, that kid that would have passed already, he or she might have made 5, maybe 10-point gain, or maybe no gain. And we'll celebrate because they passed, and that will make the school look good. And then there are children that maybe gained 100 points, and they may not yet have hit that 400 number, but where they started and where they are. And then if we just, this girl, she was amazing, 11th grade student, a journalism student. And she gave me a really in-depth interview. She kind of got me nervous. Like, I thought it was going to be, like, really easy. She had way too many controversial questions. But she was great. And then after the interview, I was talking to her. And, like, she wants to pursue a career in political journalism. And she has all these other interests. And that's what I really want us to focus on. How do we get in touch? How do we understand every child's way that they would measure success, and how could we build, in a sense, 29,000 academic programs where kids could see some relevance to what school and connect what they're learning to their future, in some cases dreams, but in future, real career path.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We're talking this morning with Dr. Scott Kisner, the school superintendent, the new school superintendent in Stafford County. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's coming up on 829.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
Stafford School Superintendent Dr. Scott Kisner, our special guest this morning as we talk Stafford schools. You talked right at the beginning, Dr. Kisner, about just how Stafford is. You came from Harrisonburg, and how much bigger that Stafford is from Harrisonburg. Is that taking any getting used to?
Yeah, absolutely. So two things I realized first. The central office staff is significantly larger. And when you work in a smaller division, so Harrisonburg, for those who listen, is about 6,300 students and 10 schools, a very fast-growing community in the Shenandoah Valley. So when you work in a smaller division, you are more intimately involved with all of its operations, personnel, transportation, food service, obviously instruction, and so on. So I'm in the process right now of kind of evaluating all the operations in central office to see if there's redundancy, if people are asked to do things that might really maybe fall better in another department. Truthfully, if do we have, too many staff in certain areas? Do we have certain areas where we have not enough staff? And then school board, central office, we're supposed to be a support for the buildings to make sure the best of teaching and learning could take place. So in my journey, as I visit all the schools, I'm spending time with the principals to understand what are we doing that they feel is supporting their mission, and what are we doing that's kind of a barrier to their mission. And at the same time, I've met with most of the Board of Supervisors and school board members alone, and in the month of October, November, I'm going to be meeting with different community leaders, different stakeholder groups, and again, just to gauge our, what people are very proud of our school system, and also learn where people think we could improve. And sometime in December and January, it's like the 100-day entry plan, and then December and January, I will publicly roll out a strategic reorganization and plan for the next few years, greatly based on the feedback and the conversations I had with people. So that is one thing. And then, of course, as I already described, I go to a school and I really enjoy being with those kids, and I kind of want to go back tomorrow and hang out with the same class. And then I realize, I got to get to the other school. So that I talked to a lot of colleagues. The superintendent of Fairfax County, he was the superintendent in Lynchburg. I mean, that's such a big jump, 7,000 yeah. to 180,000. The superintendent of Arlington was in Winchester. So I've reached out to people who had experience what I'm experiencing, and they've given me good advice. They know me well, and they said, Scott, just don't lose focus of the students, and have more contact with your building principals. But they also said you're just going to have to be realistic that in a larger community, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to want to see you, and that may take away the time that you could be in the buildings. Yeah. So I start my day at 6:30, and I think last night we ended around 8:30. I'm not going to say that's the earliest night I got home, but that's more of a typical day. No, I was just, my youngest daughter, I was superintendent for her for 13 years, K through 12th grade. And my middle daughter, 8 years, and my oldest daughter, 5 years. Even though it might have been stressful for them, I think, at times, especially when I made the wrong decision on snow days in the light of their friends, I got to see them a lot. You know, I got to see them, you know, more at school than I got to see at home. So, but I was excited. I really wanted another challenge. This was a great school division. When I saw the position open, I got excited. I know the reputation of Stafford. And geographically, I have a daughter that lives in Richmond and a daughter that lives in Fairfax. So this worked out really well that way. So, no, it's a good transition.
Well, and you talk about being able to talk to people. On October 17th, you've got a listening tour where parents and people can ask you or the school board questions.
Yeah, so I really hope people will take advantage of it. You know, it's an opportunity, again, for me not to debate. It's for me to listen and maybe ask some follow-up questions so I could either get a better understanding or maybe a deeper dive into what they're bringing up. We've had, it was really very interesting to me. A couple of weeks ago, we met with all the PTA leaders, and each school went around and shared, you know, their budget requests, but then it quickly turned to other issues that are important. So, you know, Stafford, I knew this when I got hired, so I don't want to act like I didn't know it, but, you know, we're going through a redistricting.
I was going to ask you about that. That's always interesting.
Yeah, that's a superintendent's nightmare. Let's not kid yourself. I don't care what anybody tells you. Yeah, because you never know how much people love their schools until you tell them they got to leave. So that there's really not a lot of win on that one. But you have to do it with respect and listen and try to put yourself in the shoes of the people who are raising concerns. We have all these building projects. We have staff, teachers. But it's not just teachers. Bus drivers, it's a lot of other that, truthfully, their salaries need to be reevaluated. This is a remarkably – well, teachers need to be treated with dignity and respect, and all the employees do, and they should be compensated by the value they offer society, which to me is great. And then there's also the business model that also says we are in a supply and demand dilemma here. We have a lot more demand than a supply. And teachers, my daughter, who's a special ed teacher, as I already mentioned, Arlington, she had like 15 job interviews. She could have landed in almost any school division. She ended up landing in Arlington. And that's true for a lot of our teachers. Although I have to say there's great pride. I mentioned the students, but as I talk to teachers, we have a lot of teachers that are graduates of Stafford School.
Mm-hmm.
They're happy to be back. They're happy to be part of a lot of people call the family. I like that. I got a big family here. I hope I don't have to feed them all. But so it's a big family. So I hear a lot of pride of the school system, which makes me more excited to be part of the system. But I also do look at numbers. I'm a data-driven leader. And we can't deny that when we look at our salaries compared to neighboring school divisions, and that's really what I think we need to focus on, mm-hmm. is where are the people going when they leave here? And I mentioned bus driving. I'll just we'll be quick on this. I was at a local restaurant in Stafford, and I entered a conversation with a woman and to tell me that she's a bus driver. So I quickly made the assumption she was a bus driver in Stafford. And she said, no, she's a bus driver in Prince William County. And I asked her why, and because she does live in Stafford. And they pay a little bit over $3 more an hour. And I know we're struggling to get drivers. That's a really difficult job. And we're struggling to get drivers, and we're struggling to, you know, maintain drivers. So I like to look. So I looked. I compared ourselves to the four surrounding school divisions. And, yeah, we are the lowest paid. And our teachers are, you know, not by any means close to the highest paid. But I also appreciate and that there's not an endless amount of money. I mean, I've been doing this a long time and made decisions that at times I balanced what I thought was pragmatic for the school board to consider, and also appreciate that most of the Stafford community do not have children in our school system. The school system belongs to the public, and that's why I really appreciate this opportunity and the opportunity to go out in the community, because, you know, you and I were talking during the break, if I'm a Met or a Yankee fan, I'll admit I'm a Met fan, okay? But in New York, it's hard to be a Met fan except in 69 and 86, because everybody loves the Yankees.
Yeah.
And success breeds success. There's amazing pride. So I want to invite and engage the community of Stafford that do not have children or grandchildren in our school system, so they could see that their investment is really benefiting them and the entire county of Stafford.
Again, the listening tour is October 17th. Where will that, do you know where that will be held?
Hampton Oaks Elementary School.
Sure, we would get, I knew I would get you on. So it'll be at Hampton Oaks Elementary in Stafford, yep, on October 17th, the listening tour, and a chance to really ask these kind of questions and give you some feedback. And like you say, both good and bad.
Yeah. And that will be one of, we're going to do maybe two or three?
One of three, yes. And different parts of the county, so that we can reach out to different segments of the parents. So, yes.
Mm-hmm. And also for those who are listening that belong to like a civic organization or some, you know, group, you know, I would welcome the opportunity to be invited and speak to different organizations in the Stafford community to introduce myself and also maybe share a little bit about my vision, and then more importantly, to hear from those members of that group.
A couple of things Stafford County offers for people, too, to stay in touch with things. I know that there's a mobile app that gives you all kinds of information, and also there's a tip line for school safety.
The mobile app, we're trying to encourage, we actually launched that in December of 2016, but we've had a push to have more parents download that app so they can get information in real time, especially our emergency alerts. And the tip line, that's new. We just launched that this school year when we started back school. And this is a way for people to anonymously tell us information that might be going on in the schools to help prevent any kind of tragedy or incident. So, so far, it's going well. And, you know, if you see something, say something. That's the name of the campaign.
Yeah.
And we're trying to meet students where they are. And they like technology, so we're hoping that they'll use this app to text us any problems that they may see.
I know a lot of times people a lot of things have been averted just by sharing with school resource officers.
Absolutely. Gives
you another set of eyes.
And the information goes right to our Director of Safety and Security and Risk Management. Also, it also goes to the Sheriff's Department. So the appropriate people that need to see it can investigate quickly.
That's a good, just for parents to just, even if you hear your child talking about something.
Absolutely.
Let them
if you see
look into
say
it.
Something.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But back to the mobile app, Sheree, that also doesn't, is that the one that, does that also give you information like if buses are running late,
yes,
that kind of thing?
Yes. And we also have the My Stop Bus app.
That's right.
Yes,
okay.
So we do have that, and that's going very well. So we do have that with our transportation system. But the mobile app's wonderful. Our emergency alerts, people can go on and find notifications, and also lunch menus. They've got the superintendent's bio on there. They have everything on there, so they've got information for the different schools.
Well, and things, these kind of apps and just information, when we have situations like 95 gets shut down, I know that
yes,
impacted bus routes that day.
It certainly did, and this helps us get the information out quickly. I mean, of course, we do send out robocall and emails, but when you have 29,000, you know, students and 4,000 employees, it takes about 20 to 30 minutes for it to circulate and get to everybody. But with the mobile app, if you download it and you're signed up for that, that's instantaneous and you get it right then. So we have about 10, 11,000 people signed up. So we sent out a push last week to encourage more parents to download the app.
But it'll help you, whether it's a snow day situation or
absolutely
95 or
all
anything.
All kinds of emergency alerts, weather alerts, all of them go through that mobile app. So it's really a good idea and a good resource to download.
Only takes a few minutes, and things have changed, and you're utilizing all the technology that's out there.
Absolutely.
You mentioned transportation. If I could just touch upon that for a minute. So I realize and we recognize that there are some buses that have been crowded and running late. So we're working to address that. The one thing you mentioned the I-95 last week or 2 weeks ago when
yeah.
I had that back up. And that was, obviously, hopefully those are outliers. That doesn't happen that often. But what I think I'm discovering, and definitely transportation, we have significant construction throughout the county of Stafford. And what might look really good on Monday and Tuesday, all of a sudden there's a person standing there with a stop or go sign. And when it turns to the stop sign, it's like 5, 10, maybe even more.
Yeah.
So they could, do whatever construction they need on the road. So obviously then the bus doesn't move, and then a lot of our buses do more than one run. So then it just cycles to have another bus late. So what I guess really what I'm saying is, maybe one of the paradigms that have to shift a little bit is not doing it like an Amtrak train, that the train leaves at 7:42 and arrives at 8:51. There's so many conditions that we can't control that impact the times buses get home or pick up children. My guarantee, and even that, sometimes can't always stay true because of unforeseen events. But the guarantee is we're going to get your child to and home from school. And man, we transport 15, 17, 20, we transport a lot of kids, that we'll get them back and forth safely. And why I say I can't guarantee it, because we had a situation, maybe it was this week or last week, where a car drove into a bus.
Yeah.
And when that happens, obviously we got to do all the police reports, make sure everybody's safe, and then that slows it up. So I know in the first month, and that's been a concern with parents, and we share that concern, but I'm just asking people to at least realize that we're getting everybody back and forth safely.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Good stuff this morning with Dr. Scott Kisner. We'll wrap it up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Stafford School Superintendent Dr. Scott Kisner with us this morning, along with Cherie Johnson, the Director of Strategic Communication and Community Engagement. Big operation coming up. It's going on right now, and you can find out all kinds of information. There's a link on our Facebook page. You can check that out, too. Operation Warm, Coats for Kids, wraps up, Cherie, on the 25th. But between now and then, you need to raise some money and buy some coats and get it all in gear.
We sure do, and we could certainly use the community's help on this. They can go to our website at www.staffordschools.net and click on Operation Warm, and there's a link to the donation center. It goes right to the Operation Warm folks. We are definitely in need of more funding because we want to buy coats for students in the county that need a warm coat this winter. And these are brand new coats that they receive. And the deadline is October 12th. So we are fast approaching that because we need time to go out and purchase those coats. And then on October 25th, we come together with our volunteers and we tag those coats and we separate them by schools and we deliver them. The school counselors come and we deliver them to the schools to pass out to the students, because we want to make sure that all of our students in need have a warm coat this winter. So it's a successful project, but we need the community's help to kick it off the ground. So we haven't met our goal yet of 29,000. I think we're about at 8,000, so we have a ways to go. So we could really use community support.
And only about a week, so.
Yes, time is dwindling down. So, you know, definitely go to our website at www.staffordschools.net, and you'll see a link in the web carousel that says Operation Warm. Click on that, and it'll take you right to the donation page.
It's called Operation Warm again. And a lot of people who would think, the need can't be that great in Stafford. I've seen those when they get when they're boxed and sent to the schools, all the schools are represented, and a lot of them have a lot of coats.
Yes, it's like an assembly line. We have a large amount of volunteers that come out from all parts of the community. All of our business partners come out, and they help us tag the coats and separate them by schools, and some of them even help us deliver them. So it's a great community engagement effort.
I know a lot of I know a lot of situations where teachers will see needs and will go and buy out of their own pocket and provide for coats. It's there. Students are coming, especially
Absolutely.
As it starts getting colder, because students will start coming to school and teachers notice who doesn't come with a coat.
Absolutely. And we do. We have such caring teachers in our school division, and you're right. And so we're trying to do our part to make sure those students have the things they need to be successful, and that's a warm coat.
I know in the fall, when school starts, you provide backpacks and that kind of information. This is the next component.
This is the next. We had Collect for Kids back to school supply drive in August, and this is the next component in October with the coats.
So get on that, staffordschools.net. Now you can go to our Facebook page too. It has the same link to the Operation Warm website, and real need for that. And so in the next week or so, before that, do it today.
Yes, do it today.
Bump that number up, because they'll be distributed at the end of the month. But again, the deadline is October 12th. Dr. Kisner, just a couple of minutes left. One of the things, the most important thing, I guess, who was your favorite baseball player growing up?
My favorite, that's great. So it's interesting how you have these like flashbulb memory things that never lose. I can name probably the entire 1969 Mets, but I couldn't tell you five players on 2018.
Same
Mets.
With me, I know.
Yeah. So I really liked Tom Seaver and Jerry Kuzman and Cleon Jones. But this is a ball player that probably very few people would ever think of. His name was Ed Cranepool.
Oh yeah, I've got a baseball card of him.
And he came to a little. I was in a little league, and he came to a function, and it was, I don't know. He spent a lot of time with us, and so I'm probably the only one in America who would say that Ed Cranepool was my.
He was like a utility infielder, wasn't he?
Yeah, he did a lot on first base, but those were the days where the Mets, were just pathetic. So anyway.
People will ask me now today and say, you had the school superintendent in, and there's redistricting and overcrowding, and you talk to him about
We have plenty of time to talk about those things.
Exactly. It's been great to meet you, Dr.
Thank
Kisner.
Thank you very much.
Welcome to Stafford County. The great thing, and I think anybody would gather just hearing you and talking to you for just a few minutes, you're just a regular guy who really has a heart for education and for all kids in the school division.
Thank you.
It's great to have you here. Sheree, great to have you here.
Thank you.
And again, the listening tour, the first of these, October 17th at Hampton Oaks.
You got it, 6 to 8 p.m.
And stay tuned for the other things. And sign up for these apps. The number you gave was
please.
A pathetic number. I can say that. Sign up.
We need more people to download the app, Stafford PS. So definitely download that app.
Go to staffordschools.net. Dr. Kisner, Sheree, great to have you here. Thank you. Thank you for what you do. That's it for Town Talk. We will see you next week on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230. WFVA.